Weekend Breakfast with Sarah Jane King.
Saturday and Sunday, 6 to 10 a.m.
All right, every week at this time, we look to start your day with a story that inspires. We invite somebody onto the show who has overcome adversity, who has turned their lives around, who has displayed resilience in the face of hardship, who has survived against the odds. And this week, our guest on My Amazing Life is Ronald Abels. As a small boy growing up in Capricorn, Ronald wanted to be a policeman. But by the time he was 15, he'd already committed his first armed robbery. And from there, he entered into a life of crime and drugs, becoming a notorious and feared gangster in Lavender Hill. So then how did this former criminal and homeless drug addict go from the streets to becoming the man he is today, a married father of four living in the southern suburbs, a pastor, a youth worker, and the founder of the Future Hope Project? Well, let's find out as we welcome Ronald Abels to share his amazing life with us on Weekend Breakfast this morning. Morning, Ronald. How great to have you with us. Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you, Sarah. So grateful to be here.
It's such an incredible story and one that's very apt for you to tell us this recovery month, of course. Briefly tell us about your early life. What was your childhood like?
If I may, I think I would actually start before my childhood. I think my story starts with my mom.
Right.
As any child. I think I just want to say that, just right on a bit, my mom was sexually assaulted. And as a result of that rape, I was conceived.
Sure.
And so that already brought a lot of trouble into my life because my mom, as a final fact, just continue.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So as a result, my mom didn't bond well with the baby as I was growing into her stomach. She didn't bond very well with the baby. She didn't bond at all. I think she wanted to commit abortion twice during her pregnancy, but at the end, I prevailed and I was born. But as a child, as a baby, she didn't bond with me. And so she just gave me up to my grandparents and they raised me. And even though she was close by, she wasn't really motherly to me at that stage.
Ronald, at what point did you discover the truth about your father? Because I would imagine that it is something that a number of children who are the product of a rape, and it seems such a horrible term, but who are the result of a rape and such a violent act. What does that do, particularly to a young boy, a young man? What does that do to your psyche? How does that affect, on top of everything else that you were going through, how did that particular thing affect you? And does it still affect you to this day?
I think the truth about it, I only got my mom to tell me the truth about 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And because I always had this question mark, who's my dad? I think it was my question throughout my whole life, who's my dad? And she could never tell the story. But when she told me, it was devastating. It was on top of everything else. Now suddenly everything makes sense because as a fatherless child and also from a young child, a mother who doesn't bond with you, you just feel displaced. You don't feel like you belong anywhere. And there's nothing that almost, there's nothing to keep you or speaks of belonging. And so it was quite a lonely childhood. When I heard about my father, it sent me to go and work with a psychologist just to go through the emotions.
Did it put some things into perspective for you? Was it an answer perhaps to a question that you didn't even, I mean, yes, you'd been asking about who was your father, but on a deeper psychological level, did it answer a question that perhaps you hadn't even realized you needed answering?
It did. Yeah. On a psychological level, it did speak about, I think it answered like, why am I always so, I think in my family, I always acted differently.
Yeah.
I was the first person who started looking for a place of belonging because I the first person who wanted to become a, who became a gangster, the first person who fiddled with drugs and stuff like this. And so I was always a bit different. I was never around home. I was always outside somewhere else. I think if I can just go back to my early childhood, and that, if I can let the story flow. And as I was born, I think I was born the 25th June, 1979. And on the 24th of June, 1979, there was this big boxing match, Leon Spinks and Gerry Coetzee. And everybody, it was the first South African boxing match at that time because of apartheid. And everybody wanted Gerry Coetzee to win, but and Leon Spinks was the world champion at the time. But they knocked out Leon Spinks. Gerry Coetzee knocked out Spinks in 29 seconds. And my mom gave me that name. And that nickname, Spinks, which basically means loser.
Sure.
And, yeah, and also because I'm the darkest person in my family, they called me another name. It's growing up, they gave me another nickname, and it's called the K word. So I was the black cousin, but the root version of it. And so, as a young boy, I always knew something was wrong with me. Number one, I grew up the same of my color of my skin. And also, I knew that I don't fully belong to the family because it was quite shameful in those years to be black. We were indoctrinated that way.
Exactly.
And then as I grew up, I think my early years, I got bullied quite quickly. Because I knew I didn't belong. I could see Fridays and when my aunties and cousins, Friday nights, they came back and they would have little luxuries for the kids. And my mom would never come back and bring those things for me. And so I knew that, whoa, it is just different. And so as a child, as a small boy, I was traumatized. And when I went to school, I was quickly picked up. I was picked up by bullies. And through my whole childhood, my whole primary school years, I was bullied.
I want to move on, Ronald. I want to get to the point at which things started to change for you very visibly. You've described this childhood, that the product of a rape, the fact that your mother didn't bond with you. You were called loser. You were called by the very people who were supposed to love and care for you. You go to school, you're bullied. Something then changes for you and you, I mean, as I said in the introduction, you had committed your first armed robbery by the age of 18 and you then went on, you entered into the gangster lifestyle. What was it? And you touched on it a little bit earlier about this sense of belonging. And I think that's such a key thing, is that I wonder if when we look at the young children now in certain areas who go into and enter into the life of gangsterism, whether it's not people aren't entering into that life to become criminals, but rather to belong. And I wonder if you could speak a little bit to that. How was it that you end up at the age of 15 committing the first of what will not be your last armed robbery and also entering into that life of gangsterism, of crime, and then ultimately into drugs?
I think it is just, I really wanted to belong to something bigger than myself. I wanted to belong to a family, and that's why I started hanging out with gangsters. I really wanted to be accepted. Then I think once I started being, I was a small boy, and I needed to prove myself all the time. And then one time, me and my friends went out. We saw a couple of people at the garage station, and we decided to rob them. Arm robbery, but it was with knives and stuff. And then I went through the whole procedure of going to court and stuff. But when I came back from the police house that weekend, I was notorious in my neighborhood, and I had to commit more and more crimes to say that I'm the man.
Yeah.
A little while later, I started dabbling with meth, and that was really the end of the beginning.
What were you, for you, when you began using drugs, what was it that you, why were you doing that? Was it that everybody else around you was doing it and you wanted to fit in? Was it that you knew that it would offer you an escape from what was going on in your head? What was it? And what did drugs give you? Because they do give us something. It's not that we, you know, our lives, as soon as we pick up drugs, our lives don't immediately become a disaster. And that's why we keep doing it, isn't it? Because for a time, it makes us feel good.
It makes us feel good, and it also provides an escape. Yeah. And it was also a perfect way to shut down the emotions I was feeling inside of me. When I started smoking, I just totally became dead. I didn't need to think about where I belong. I didn't know I didn't have to take account of anything, so I could do whatever I want to. It made me feel good, but it also killed my emotions completely.
Yeah. If you're just joining us this morning, my guest on My Amazing Life is Ronald Abels, who is a former criminal, a former gangster, a former homeless drug addict. It seems extraordinary when we hear his story now to where he is today. A married father of four, living in the southern suburbs. He's a pastor, a youth worker, an upstanding member of the community, and also the founder of the Future Hope Project. You went to jail briefly, Ronald. You went to Polsmoor. That wasn't enough to take you off the destructive path that you were on. What was the lowest point of your life, the lowest point of your addiction, the lowest point of your life as a gangster? What was the lowest point in where you are now?
It's only 9 years ago. It was only 9 years sure. ago, 9.5 years ago. I'm only clean 9.5 years now.
Don't say only. That's incredible.
What happened was I was sitting on the corner. At this time, I had no future. I had no will. The one thing I did wanted was a shopping trolley so I can push scrap around. I was dirty. I was full of lice. I was hungry, and I really felt like I wanted to take a hit, the next hit.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, I look around me, and I just thought, wow, my life is over. I'm 31 years old, and there's nothing more for me. And suddenly I heard this voice I would say or this thing inside me say like, Ronald, it's time to come home. And as I stood up from this, I was sitting on a pile of rubbish basically. As I stood up, the addiction was just broken. It was shaken off and I never smoked after that. And slowly after that, with hard work, I start pulling my life together.
What do you think happened in that moment? What was that turning point? We often talk about when it comes to addiction, we talk about rock bottoms. And I'm not a believer in one single rock bottom. I think a rock bottom is a journey. And I think it culminates perhaps in one thing. But I don't think it's always just one event that somebody goes, right, that's it, I need to change. I think it can be a series of events, and it can be over a number of years also that you suddenly realise actually, or not that you suddenly realise, but over a number of years that things get worse and worse and worse. What was it specifically? Can you pinpoint what it was in that moment, or was it just the realisation of there's nowhere else to go but up?
I think it's God, number one. But the second thing, but it sparked a conversation a week earlier. Me and my one friend were smoking a meth pipe, and he said something like this, my brother, can you remember the good old days? We were almost like, we were like kings. We ran wild and we did all this crime. And now I just thought like that started just playing over my head. The good old days is gone. The good old days. And that sparked it. But ultimately it was God, and that made the turning point in my life.
It's been 9.5 years since you lived that life. Tell us, paint a picture for us of how your life is today in stark contrast to that person who was sitting with their trolley on a pile of rubbish full of lice. And I read something where you said that eventually when you went and had a bath, and it took about 4 baths to get you clean. And I think that's almost a metaphor for sort of being washed, I guess, spiritually and psychologically also, and the work that you then had to do, that sort of cleansing of oneself. What does your life look like now? Who is Ronald Abels today?
Wow. Number one, I'm a husband.
Right.
I married a beautiful American girl.
Hello, Sydney.
Sydney, yes. And then also, I have a loving relationship with my mom. We've spoken through all these things. Yeah, we are best friends. I think if I don't go a week, she misses me. She calls me, where are you?
What was it that, how did that happen? Because you started this interview Ronald, people would be listening in saying, that's extraordinary. This woman who was a victim of a violent rape, which resulted in you never feeling that she had bonded with you, to now where you call her your best friend. I mean, that's extraordinary.
It took a lot of work, and it was hard work. I think we couldn't even start asking the questions. And what we did was, we started writing letters to each other. So I said, like, I know that I don't know my father's, but I know it's can't be painful. And so we started writing letters to each other. And as we handed out letters, sometimes she just like her eyes will be full of tears as she gives me answers to the questions I had.
Sure.
And slowly, she started talking about the pain, my childhood. Like, there was memories that I didn't have of myself, but now I know so much about myself, and we can talk about everything now.
That's incredible. What September is Recovery Month. What does recovery mean for you? You said that, you know, these days you are you're a husband, you're married, you are a very well respected, I know this, you're a very well respected member of your community. You share your story with other young men in the hope that they will either turn their lives around from where they are or not go down the path that you've gone down. But what does recovery mean for you? Is it just about recovery from drugs, or is it recovery from one's internal demons and the pain and perhaps painful childhoods?
It's not just about recovery of drugs. I think that's the beginning, but it's recovering your life. It is recovering. I think sometimes we just are victims of circumstances of life, but and we play along like, oh, the system is against me, this is wrong with me, and then we just follow that. We have to recover that, almost like a God-given identity, like, no, I'm more than that, I'm more than, one of the things I can say is, like, my wife, a guy like me from a township is never supposed to marry a middle-class, southern American. It's not supposed to happen, I'm not just a recovered drug addict. I'm a human being, and I deserve better for my life.
Yeah.
I deserve more than life gives me. Or the hand that was dealt, I rearrange my cards, and I try to get the best out of it at all times.
How are you viewed now by the community that you used to operate in?
I think that one of the most famous statements one of the most famous things somebody said to me was one time was, that really impacted me was, I got out of the car and I was dressed nice and there was a bunch of old smoking buddies and they look at me and they say to me, you dude, don't say anything to us. Because we see you, we know there's hope for us. Wow. And we know that. And every time somebody wants to come off drugs or they want to change their life, they walk around in search for me. I've one guy, I think last year, just started crying in front of my door. And even though I said to him, you're not ready, he's like, I want this. He came 3 days and just cried, you have to help me. And he's in a good spot now.
That's amazing. That's extraordinary. Yeah. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I could speak to you forever. I'm assuming one cannot have a story like you have, Ronald, and not want to write it down, not want to put it down in a book. Is that the plan? Will you write a book? Have you written a book? What's happening?
I'm about finishing my book now. I'm almost finishing my book.
Yeah.
And so I think the book will come out next year.
Fantastic. Gosh, I hope everyone will be on the lookout for it. Ronald, yours is an extraordinary story, and thank you for being a beacon of hope to so many people who feel desperate or perhaps have got a relative or somebody, a family member, a friend, colleague that they perhaps are struggling to see through addiction or a desperate time. I think yours is an apt story to tell this Recovery Month. Ronald Abels, once upon a time, a criminal, a gangster, a homeless drug addict, and today, a married father of four, a pastor, a youth worker, and a respected member of his community, and the founder also of the Future Hope Project.